All right, so we're going to step into the part of our service where we're going to do the sermon part. And what the Lord laid on my heart this year was especially about, you know, the cross and how we are living our life, okay? And the name of my message is This Side of Calvary. Things happen, don't they? You know what I mean? All right, we're going to start all over. No, just kidding. For those watching, the microphone crashed to the right of me. All right. Anyway, we're going to be talking today about this side of Calvary, okay? This side of Calvary and what that means for how you and I can live our life. Have you ever forgotten what day it is? I mean, I do every now and then. You know, it might be Friday, but it feels like a Saturday, or maybe every day feels like a Monday to you. Has anybody ever had that? I know some people that live like that, where every day is a Monday, and they're pretty tough to be around sometimes, aren't they? But I think some Christians sometimes forget, you know, what day we're living in. Are we living in B.C. or A.D.? You know, before Christ or after Christ came? You know, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was a pivotal point in our history, okay? And we have to remember that, and that's how they really date the calendars, you know, before Jesus came and after Jesus came. And the idea that the power of death, it looked like it won that day, but really death lost. And what happened was the power of death had to bow its knee to the power of resurrection life. And that's what we're here to celebrate today, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, on how important it is to you and I. Scripture I'm going to look at right now is found in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 16. It's talking about Mary Magdalene here. Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stopped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels while they were sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, while where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, where have you carried him away? Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She recognized him when he called her name. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the stirring of your Holy Spirit here today, that, Lord, you have called us out of a dark world into your marvelous light. Lord, we thank you for the penetrating power of your presence, the Holy Spirit, just to be here today. Lord Jesus, we want to glorify you and honor you. Lord, I pray you stir the gifting inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, we pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan in any way, shape, or form that he tries to steal the Word of God out of our hearts. Okay, there's some things I want to kind of see today. And I want us to look at this from a perspective of moments in our life. Because we all have many moments in our life. You know, Mary was standing in a Sunday moment. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. She went there to want to minister to him, maybe put some more spices on, different things like that. But she was standing right there in a Sunday moment, but she still thought it was Friday. All she could get her mind wrapped around was seeing Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross. And that really stuck with her. And I think we as Christians, we can be standing, you know, in the A.D. after Jesus came, but yet thinking like the B.C., before Christ days. And that kind of affects our thinking and our walk with God. And I made up a new one. You know, as Christians, we need to be living in the A.C. Not the B.C., the A.D., but the A.C. A.C. is after the cross. That's how we need to start looking at our life as a Christian, after the cross, because that cross was a pivotal point where things changed when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ. First, I want to look at the problems that you and I sometimes face, and you know, we all face them, and those are those Friday moments that we have in life, and they can get really etched in our memory. You know, I just showed some clips from The Passion of the Christ last Wednesday night to the youth, and you know, it's hard to watch those, you know, without weeping, without really, you know, feeling some emotional pull upon your heart, seeing what our Lord and Savior, you know, went through. And those things can get etched in your mind, and I think that's what happened to Mary. I mean, you watch something, you go through something, and you experience that, and it's just such a part of you. Because many people, you know, go through so many different things in their life, and the pain and the heartache that they go, and I do understand, because, you know, I myself have went through some Friday moments in my life, and those Friday moments can be very devastating. You know, they just kind of just knock the wind out of you, knock you right down. Now, fortunately, we shouldn't live there. We shouldn't stay there, but sometimes we do. Sometimes it affects us, and it hinders us in our life and how we walk with God. Because I think that, you know, emotional trauma, when we experience it in our life in whatever way, shape, or form that it is, you know, it can cause us to think a certain way. I've been doing a lot of reading on this for the last several years. I'm not going to get too techno, because I'm not too technical myself in a lot of things. But, you know, just how our brain works and how situations and circumstances in our life come in there, and how our brain gets it wired. And how I look at it, see, as a farm boy and you know, going out in the pasture and, you know, being able to see the cows, I kind of miss that part of my life. You know, I enjoy cows, especially hamburgers and steaks and stuff, but I did like working cattle and stuff like that. But, you know, have you ever seen those paths out through the pasture? You know, the cow walks on the same spot all the time, and they get a groove worn. And if you hit those crossways, you can really jostle you pretty bad, especially if you're going 30, 40 mile an hour, you know, like you shouldn't be out in the farm with the truck. But anyway, you know, kids are kids, right? But, you know, those things, you know, that's how our mind works. You know, it's been kind of proven that our brain, we get used to thinking a certain way, and it kind of gets on autopilot, and that becomes our default setting. And that's what can happen if sometimes we get traumatized or you know, people probably suffering with PTSD, those things like that. You know, their mind gets that way, and it's like a rut, and it just stays in that. Now, it can be broken. It can be done, taken out. But I want us to see today, you know, that we have to do some things to do it. Because sometimes, you know, because Mary went to the grave. She had heard Jesus say, hey, 3 days, I'm going to rise up again. Hey, I'm going to, you know, defeat death, hell, and the grave. They experienced that, but they didn't really understand it, just like you and I sometimes. You know, Jesus, you know, through the Bible or something. I remember when I first bought a Bible, I didn't understand that thing. And, you know, it just takes a little time. First, you got to be born again. I figured that out after I got saved. After you're born again, it's a little easier to understand. But, you know, what happened was that Mary, you know, in her situation, you know, she was standing outside that tomb, and she was just crying and weeping. Because she'd been there earlier, and she noticed the stone had been rolled away, and she went and told people and told them to come and all this, and then she was just standing out there crying. You know, what happened was the fact that, you know, she was standing outside the tomb and thinking, you know, she knew that Jesus was still dead and somebody stole his body, but she was wrong. Have you ever walked up to a situation and you thought you knew that you knew that you knew that you had the answer, only be proven wrong? Isn't that amazing how that works sometimes? See, our mind gets thinking a certain way, and we, you know, that's kind of what they say, a one-track mind sometimes. If you think a certain way, because that's the way it's always been, it's hard to break that and have kind of a new way of looking at things. And I think sometimes we think we know how things are going to turn out, but we need to remember always that God has the final say. God's the God of turnaround. Has God ever turned around something in your life? I know He has mine. Things that I thought were going to go a certain way, and all of a sudden God showed up. Praise God. Just turn that situation totally around. And what we have to do is understand that those old common thought patterns, the way that we think a certain way, those ruts, and another farm analogy, I'm sorry, you can disc those things in. You know, tear them up and get them smoothed out and start thinking another way. And that's what I want us to get to in our lives so we don't have to live that old life again. You know, I've been across a few ruts in my day, and I know how bad they can be, and you get on those things. And I remember before I got saved, you know, I was stuck in some Friday moments in my life, some Friday moments where maybe I thought I just wasn't good enough, or I maybe thought that I wasn't going to have enough. You know, all these things kind of flood in there, and whether we want to accept it or not, people, those things affect the way that we live our life. How we think is how we live. If we're living on Friday, we're never going to experience Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead, that resurrection, that victory moment. And that's what I want to get us to. See, those Friday moments, I believe, sometimes can be a default setting. Have you ever said, you know, growing up, and don't raise your hand because we don't want to incriminate anybody, but have you ever said, I'm never going to be like my parents? You know how they raise their kids, you, and then all of a sudden, you're doing that. Why? Those things have been etched in our mind. All of a sudden, they just come out again. And we start to see, you know, how those things start to function and work, and you know, where'd that come from? You know, and how we need to turn those around. And what happens is, you know, we start expecting the worst sometimes in life. You know, and if what it's kind of like a magnet, and we need to stop that. But those BC moments can be hard to shake. I remember when I was first coming to Christ. I mean, I dabbled in Christianity for a while. I went to church. I found a church. Matter of fact, I moved over by one. I believe it was a divine appointment, and started going there. And I really liked what they had to say. I could feel this different thing going on there, this different vibe. You know, the Holy Ghost. You know, or whatever. I mean, God was there. You know, and I just was going. I didn't understand everything. But I kept going back, and I kept going back, until finally I got it, I received it. You know, but during that time, it was very confusing because, you know, I was still, you know, doing my Friday thing, you know what I'm saying? I was doing my Friday thing. And so it was just kind of, I was living short of really where God wanted me to be, and I needed to turn that around because we cannot let the pain of our past predestine the plan of our future. And that's what happens. We let the pain of our past predestine the plan of our future. And here's some things that Jesus' followers went through, and I think we go through them too, and I'm just going to go through a couple. Number one, betrayal. Jesus experienced that. His friend, a follower, one who was with him all the time, stabbed him in the back. Have you ever been stabbed in the back before? I think we all have. It hurts. And what is the byproduct of being stabbed in the back by a friend? Trust issues. It makes us so we won't trust again. Makes it hard, doesn't it? And see, those are things that we can turn around, and that can be a mental rut in our mind of thinking that when you enter into any kind of relationship or anything going on in your life, these people are going to stab me in the back. I can't trust them. I will never let them get close again. And we get bound up in that. And see, Jesus wants to set us free from that. Another thing they kind of felt was they felt helpless. You know, when Jesus died, it kind of like pulling the rug out from under them. Here they'd, you know, decided to follow him. You know, they kind of quit their jobs. Have you ever quit your job, you know, and decided to, you know, go off some new thing? And that's what they did. They quit their jobs, they started following Jesus, and all of a sudden, you know, they felt, and Jesus kind of called the shots. He'd tell them, go do this, go do that. Well, all of a sudden, he was gone. There's that big void that they have in their life, and they felt kind of hopeless. You know, they had let the whole world, have you ever been embarrassed about something, a decision you made? I mean, they'd let the whole world know that, hey, Jesus is the man. He's the one. I'm following him. I'm in his group. All of a sudden, everybody turned on him, and he died one of the most brutal deaths there was. He died the same death that a murderer had died when he was crucified. And here they put all their faith in him, and now he was gone. And that's what we go through sometimes, those feelings that we have to deal with. And that made him maybe feel helpless. With Jesus gone, who would they follow? And Jesus, like I said, had been such a big part of their life, and it's tough, and it makes us go through all these different emotions. And the next emotion that they probably went through, and they felt alone. You know, if you get so close to somebody, you know, and that happens, either the loss of a loved one through death or maybe divorce. You know, a divorce is kind of like death sometimes. You know, you feel, here you are with that person, and whether they pass away or they're not in your life anymore. And I've just noticed in my marriage, you know, me and my wife, we have certain things that we do, and the other one picks up the slack on the other one. Then all of a sudden, that person's gone. They felt alone. They felt like, you know, they're here in the world, and the world hates them now, because they said, Jesus is the one, and now they're alone in that situation. And how are they going to turn that around? And lastly, through all those emotions, they probably felt defeated. They did not feel like, you know, they can get up off the ground and take another step. Well, that's enough of the depressing stuff, amen? That was point one. Now we're going to get to point two. That was Friday moment, amen? And we have those. And, you know, if you're going through one and you need some help, come see me. I'd like to help you. I can help get you past Friday through Saturday and over to Sunday, amen? And our Sunday moment is a faith moment. And that's what you and I need to have happen in our life. You know, it's a pivotal time in our thinking. When we start to think and we approach life a different way. You know, I thought a certain way before I met Jesus Christ. I had a certain way of looking at things and a way that I did things. And then when I had that faith moment, when I decided I wanted Jesus Christ more than I wanted all this other stuff. And for me, that's when my life changed. And see, what happened is I stopped looking at the old, and that started my forward thinking process. Because for me, I knew that I had been delivered from death many times due to my own ignorance, most of them. Sometimes it was somebody else's fault, but for the most part, it was my fault. You know what I mean? Self-inflicted pain is the worst pain. That's my old, I really believe that. I hate it when I hit my hand with a hammer or something. But, you know, I started that forward-thinking process where I knew that there was something better over there. Something better over there. And all of a sudden, it looked attainable. It looked like I could maybe, you know, get a hold of that and have some of that for myself, because I'd watched other people get it. And so we need that forward thinking. But to do that, we first need to let go of the old things in our life before we can grab a hold of the new. You can't hold on to both, and we need to let go. Next, we need to see that we can have a victory moment. You know, death was one of those things that's kind of scary. You know, for me growing up as a kid, I mean, I was concerned about death in some ways. I mean, although when I was in my teenage years, I didn't figure I'd live past 30. Has anybody ever had that thinking when they were younger? I mean, you know, I lived hard, you know, for about 7 years, and then finally God got a hold of me. But, you know, I just kind of felt that there was, you know, I need that victory moment when things turn around. And when I understood, because I was kind of scared of dying, because I wasn't really exactly sure what was going to happen to me. But when Jesus Christ came into my life, I finally understood the power of the resurrection, because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave all at one time. Boom. Just like that. Death, hell, and the grave. They were defeated. And we put our faith in Him, we can be able to receive that for ourselves. See, in the natural, it looked like, you know, death had won. And we go through that here in this world, because unless we have that resurrection life inside of us. You know, when we go through things in our life and maybe we lose somebody or things like this, and it just looked like death is so final, but death is not final. Jesus Christ won the battle for you and I. And we have that resurrection life living inside of us. It starts the day that we make Jesus Christ our Lord and we become born again, asking Jesus Christ to come into our life. And that's the hope, and that's the thing that we can all have. And we need to, you know, we need to get that. We got to look beyond the natural and be able to tap into the supernatural. And the supernatural is not weird stuff. The supernatural is just something we know that God just does things that isn't natural. I don't know how it worked for sure. I mean, I do understand the Old Testament and talking about blood sacrifice, how Jesus' blood was necessary. I understand all that. But yet, you know, the power of the things that happen in the spirit realm is beyond our mind, and we're just maybe never going to figure it all out. We just have to receive it by faith. See, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was a game changer. It changed the game. But it not only changed the game, but the game was over and we won. Death cannot hold you again. If you're a Christian, see, death it's talking about is spiritual death. That's separation from God. See, when we're separated from God, we can't really tap into his life. But yet, when we become born again, our spirit becomes alive, and then we can receive that. I know some of this may be different terminology than you're used to, but if you just hang in there a little bit and keep on pressing after God, believe me, you'll get it, because if I got it, you can get it. I only have a high school education, plus electrical school, and I'm not very good at English, as many of you know. I've been known to make up a word or two, just to make it fit. But so God wants us to have that resurrection moment. And that's where we're coming to right now. You know, we have to die. Now, this is kind of bad too for some, but we have to die to be resurrected. Did you know that? Not die physically, but die to ourselves. Die to the life that we want. And believe me, it sounds like we're giving up so much, but really we're giving up so little. If you don't trust me on a lot of things, you can trust me on this. You know, you're not really giving up that much. Jesus isn't going to, you know, come down and beat on you and make you change a lot of things. You know, I use this as, you know, if change sometimes can be hard. But think about it from the perspective that, you know, the reason why we don't like change is because we don't know what it feels like yet. You know what I mean? We don't know what it feels like yet. And believe me, God will never make you do anything that is bad for you. And the greatest thing we can do is surrender our life to Jesus Christ. I thought it was out there for me. I mean, I was raised, you know, I went to church a little as a kid, and, you know, I grew away from God, and I was a heathen's heathen for a while and did all these things. And, you know, I just didn't understand that. How on earth can you have fun and there's not, you know, a big party or alcohol at a party? You know what I mean? I mean, this is out there for me. I mean, that's how I thought. I thought you had to have alcohol at a party before you could have any fun. Cake and punch, I mean, that was ridiculous to me. You know, it did. I just thought that way because that was the way my mind thought. But when I became born again and Jesus took that desire away, see, you can't quit your desires. All you have to do is decide to come to him. And then he will turn that around. And he gave me different desires. You know what I'm saying? Just like if you're single. Some people just like being single. But I'll tell you, married life is better. I love married life, 98% of the time. You know, being honest, it's hard to lie up here. You know what I mean? I mean, if you just feel the pressure. I mean, but, you know, you think about it, you know, it was a big change going from single to married. You know, there was a lot of change. You got two different opposing polarities coming together. Me and my wife are opposites, and that's just the fact. But we've learned to complement each other, and I wouldn't change it for anything. I'm so glad I was willing to go through that change. And see, it's like that when we come to Christ, we come to the family. You don't have to be, if you're thinking you have to be perfect to come to Jesus Christ, you'll never get there. I was not the perfect husband when I walked down that aisle and said I do. Believe me. You know, and it was revealed to me day after day after day. No. But I grew into a halfway decent husband. Amen. You know, at least in public she praises me. Amen. You know, so, but see, we get to thinking that we have to be perfect before we can come to God. No, you just come as you are. Just come as you are. All you have to come with is a willing heart. And then you allow him to start to make those changes. And if you don't want to change, you don't have to. He's not going to make you. He's not going to beat you with a stick. And, you know, he's not going to send cancer or some disease on you because you didn't make that decision. No, God's not like that. God's love. Amen. You know, so we have that choice. you know, that we can make. And believe me, it's the greatest choice you can make because, you know, so many people sometimes don't understand that dying to self really isn't that bad because deep down inside we're all jerks sometimes, right? And so it's good to get over ourselves. Now, how do we live on this side of Calvary? That's what I want to get to. How do we live on this side of Calvary? First, we have to figure which side of Calvary we've been living on. You know, what side have we been hanging out on? Are we on the BC before Christ came into our life? Are we in the AD, you know, that after Jesus Christ came? Or we've went all the way to the AC, we're after the cross. We've went and we've accepted the gift of God through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, we may not be aware that we're living short of where we need to be. You know, before I came to Christ, I thought I was doing okay in a lot of some ways. I mean, I know there was some issues, but for the most part, you know, I didn't know that there was more out there for me until I really came to Him. So we need to stop just getting by, and God wants to help us to get ahead in this life and what He wants us to be. And forget about just living with lack all the time. Because the Lord wants us to prosper. He wants to have a spiritual life. He wants us to be able to enjoy things. You know, God is not the God of just enough. God is the God that is more than enough. You know, a lot of people think that God just wants you to have a little bit of happiness. No, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to feel love. God wants you to experience life to the fullest. And there's only one way to do that is when we experience Him. And we need to decide to do that. And how we do that is we decide to live by faith and not by sight. Simple as that. And what does that mean? That's a Christianese term. It's a term we not understand. That just means that sometimes, you know, you may understand everything, but you just have to trust God. You know, there's many times as a pastor, and even as a Christian before I became a pastor, is I walked up to a situation and that thing looked terrible. It just looked like we was going down. But if you put your faith and trust in God, we can start to see that thing turn around. So we don't go by the sight, by what the world says. We just trust in God. There's things in our life we just have to let go and let God move in our life and allow Him to change us. Maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe you're facing a giant in your life. I just say hang in there. Fight the good fight of faith. Allow God to come into your life and to be able to bring you to the other side. You know, we need to be empowered by the Word of God. You know, there is a little bit we need to do. I'm not going to lie to you and say you can just sit there like a bump on a log. You know, there is more to it than, you know, just come and listen to me for a little bit. You know, you need to get into the Bible. You know, there's Bible apps out there. You can download one and you can read a little bit of the Bible every day. Get the Word of God and let that Word of God empower you, because that's where we get our strength. And, you know, we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and permeate our life. And we do that just by, you know, getting into the Word of God and worshiping at home, but come to corporate worship. You know, it's awesome to be able to get into the presence of God and be able to experience it. See, Mary knew also you need to know the Lord's voice. Yes, God can speak to His people. And He'll give it through a witness or different things. And that comes just by association. You know, can you recognize, when you answer the phone, and caller ID is great, isn't it? You can pick or choose who you talk to for the most part. But, you know, have you ever answered the phone and you just immediately recognize that voice? That was a voice of someone you know. And see, Mary, when Jesus spoke her name, she recognized Him. And that's what we need to get to place in our life, because we have a lot of decisions and things to go through, and we need to get to the place where we recognize Him. We may not recognize Jesus in all our situations, but we should always know His voice. Only to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. There's a stranger out there, and that voice will try to lead you astray. So we stay on this side of the cross by, you know, I live by a simple rule. Whatever happened on the other side of the cross stays on the other side of the cross. You know, I'm not that person anymore. You know, when I went to the cross, see, now I'm just going off on a little tangent here a minute. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you just kneel at the cross, you kneel at the cross, you kneel at the cross. I mean, that's good. You kneel at the cross and you let Jesus take your sins. But once He takes them, get up. Start living on the other side of the cross. Don't beat yourself up all the time. Amen. Don't beat on yourself and just say that, you know, I did this and I did that and this here. You know, one of the greatest revelations I got when I accepted Jesus Christ is that person died. You know, I've told this before, so forgive me, people who come here frequently, you know, but when my wife and I were dating and she wanted to get to know me, and I didn't really like talking about myself. I'm naturally an introvert for the most part. I really don't like having to do all the talking all the time. But I would just, she wanted to know about me, so then I started to talk, and I used to tell her about my old life. I didn't tell her everything. I've never told anybody everything. Just ain't ready yet. But I told her some things, but the glory of that was, it was like I was talking about somebody else. That wasn't me. I wasn't telling on myself no more. That person died. My theme scripture, you can look it up later, Galatians 2:20. Accept it for yourself. Galatians 2:20. Because when we die, we don't have to go back to that old life anymore. We don't have to accept defeat. We just follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. And whatever happened on the cross, leave it over there. What I found out in my life is God has a way of taking dead things and putting life back in them. And that's what you and I need. We need the life of God. You know, we date our calendars BC and AD, and we need to date our life as a Christian that we're living after Jesus came, and we're living in the AC because he's come into our life. We need to let the cross be a place of separation between our old life and our new life. Don't get stuck on the pain of Friday and miss the power of Sunday. Because we need the power of Sunday in our life today. For our personal life, we need to live in that AC. And here's a little, I don't rhyme much, because it's a crime, no crime, right? Anyway, that's it. Anyway. Jesus came, his life to give, so we might have his life to live. And just receive that for yourself today on this Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you so much for the new life that you've come to give to each and every one of us, Lord. We don't have to change ourselves, but you accept us that we are, and then you start to do the work in us. Maybe you hear me talking about this terminology, being born again, or what all that means to become a Christian. What that means is the fact that you accepted the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you want to receive that forgiveness in your life today. See, the power that's in Jesus' blood washes us and makes us clean and makes us as presentable to the Father. I want to give an opportunity today, if you're here today and you've never done that and you want to ask Jesus into your heart, or if you have asked him in and you maybe went your own way for a little bit and you want to rededicate your life or reconsecrate your commitment to God, just slip up your hand and put it down if you'd like to do that today.